The Greater Washington Government Contractor Awards honor many of the individuals and businesses among the region's government contractors. Those awards, sponsored by the Fairfax County Chamber of Commerce and the Professional Services Council, celebrate high achievers. And between now and November 5th, Federal News Radio is interviewing the finalists for this year's awards. Tony Smergolito is president and CEO of Engility, a finalist for this year's Contractor of the Year Award in the greater than $300 million in sales category. And he joins us now. Mr. Smergolito, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Jerry, good to be here.
And clearly, $300 million and up, Engility is a very big firm, and a lot of listeners will have heard of you. But for those that haven't, why don't you start us off by telling us a bit about your company and what you do?
Sure, Jared. We are a pure play service company, and in fact, our revenues are over $2 billion. We have over 9,000 employees. We operate in over 100 locations in 50 countries. And really, our business model is all about efficiency. You know, what we do is provide highly skilled people wherever and whenever our government customer needs them. And we say we do that in the most efficient fashion. And for our government customers, efficient is defined as getting the people there quickly and efficiently in terms of a price point. So really, that's what we're about. We also help our government customers do their mission more efficiently. About half of what we do is help them buy and solve their problems in the most cost-effective manner. So again, our byline is efficiency, and we're proud of the highly expertise people that we provide to our government customers.
This gets to your efficiency point. I mean, Engility came into your own as a separate company just in 2012, I think, which means federal contracting's been a pretty tough business the entire time you've been around. What have you guys found to be the secret to succeeding in this kind of flat to declining environment?
Yeah, we had the opportunity to create the company for this very environment. You know, though we were only 3 years old, our legacy goes back over 50 years, Jared, and the relationships we have with our customers go back 50 years. Many of our employees have been supporting our government missions 20, 30 years. So it's that type of background, that type of foundation that we brought to this market. That being said, 2012 and 2013 have been very challenging years to start a company. We started the company with a clean sheet approach. We said if we were going to create the industry best company and be able to serve our government customer in a highly constrained budget environment, what would that look like? And so what we did was model the company for that, model it for efficiencies. We delayered the management structure. We were able to deliver those highly skilled people at 50% less infrastructure costs than we had in 2011. So, you know, how we're addressing this is being very sensitive to our government and customer needs. They need great people, and they need those people at efficient price points.
As to some of the specific reasons that your company was nominated for the awards this year, I think it had to do at least in part with the successful acquisitions that you had over the last 18 months or so with Dynamics Research Corporation and then TASC. Talk a bit about those specific transactions, if you could, and why they made sense for your firm.
Sure. Yeah. And again, when we spun in 2012, we knew that, again, when we spun at that point in time, we were a $1.6 billion company. About $500 million, Jared, of what we were doing was supporting the war effort. We knew that was going to be drawing down. Whether it was going to be drawing down in 2012, 13, or 14, we knew there was going to be a drawdown. And in fact, maybe that has extended just a bit. Our investment thesis is what we were going to do with those monies. In other words, again, as that draws down, obviously, you know, for many businesses, it throws off cash. And we also knew that as we looked at 2012, and as you point out, that market, there was too many contractors chasing too few opportunities, so there had to be consolidation. So it's taking those two data points, again, the fact that we were efficient, that we're going to be throwing off cash, given the fact that there was going to be a consolidation, we said we were going to be a first mover in that. We also took it as an opportunity to pivot ourselves away from supporting primarily the war effort to pivoting the company into higher-end specialized technical consulting services. DRC was the first acquisition we did. We did that at the end of 2013, closed that in 2014, was able to integrate that both from business systems and culturally, ahead of schedule, under cost, gave us the confidence that that we knew what we were doing in terms of acquisitions. Also, it validated our thesis that if this efficient model was working within our typical core market, it would work even better in that higher-end market. When we talk higher-end, there was probably no company higher-end than TASC. They were doing the truly a national assets, doing the country's most difficult missions. And so we did the combination, again, as we were taking a look at an acquisition. We did that acquisition at the end of 2014, merging two great companies. So where are we now? We're a company of just under $2.5 billion, 50% DOD, 25% supporting the civilian agencies, and 25% intel. So we have a great balance. We are efficient in terms of providing our people, and we have the highly skilled expertise to solve our country's most difficult problems.
And that increased emphasis on, as you said, high-end technical services, I assume part of the rationale there is that those are going to be enduring government requirements no matter what in almost any budget environment.
Jared, spot on. You know, what we're talking about, certainly we have always been there for the country in its time of needs. If there is a war effort, no one better than us to be able to deploy people wherever and whenever they're needed. But as you point out, the more sustaining is this higher-end technical consulting. The government still is going to be buying. They spend $1.7 trillion a year. We help them buy more efficiently and in that enduring fashion, as you point out.
On the consolidation point, just last week, Undersecretary Frank Kendall from DOD sort of renewed the department's concern about excessive industry consolidation, and he's basically indicated DOD is going to work with Congress on some potential new tools, I guess you'd say, for the government to potentially intervene in mergers and acquisitions. I think he's mostly worried about the big weapons primes, but is there concern in your line of business that you could be affected by some of that?
Yeah, Jerry, I think you're spot on. I think he is talking about the platform providers, you know, those that are you know, industrial capacities needed. You know, where we talk about, and I think the specific one is Lockheed's buying of Sikorsky. Is there something going on there that's going to limit competition and not be good for the nation? There is more than enough competition in the service market. And matter of fact, I think the best way that we can serve our government customers is through consolidation, is through getting more efficient, taking that infrastructure cost out and spreading it over a bigger base. So I don't think it's going to affect us. You know, and as you point out, I think that is more for the platform providers.
So when you say there's more than enough competition, should we interpret that as meaning that we'll probably see some more consolidation in the services space?
Yeah, and I think you're seeing that in the news. You see Lockheed spinning off, you know, their service business, and then some talk that there may be some mergers there. You saw CSC merging with SRA. So yeah, we were a first mover in it, and I think the consolidation will continue. You know, I think you're going to see a different industry over the next 3 to 5 years where, you know, scale does matter in this business. We will have some very great companies that are going to be very focused in the service market, and we will be one of those.
Beyond consolidation, just to finish up here, what are the other major challenges and changes that you see in your industry over the next 2 to 3 years that you're going to be paying attention to?
Yeah, well, you know, as we talk about in the next 2 or 3 years, and as you pointed out, kind of looking backwards, what we're looking for is just budget certainty. You know, this talk about government shutdown, you know, this confrontational politics, you know, for us, you know, we don't really, our business model is, it will do well as long as there is a certainty of budget, as long as our government customers know they can count on, you know, their budgets, they can look out in the 2 to 3 year horizon and feel confident to buy. We will do well because we help them buy more efficiently. So what we need, and we're hearing some talk about that, is getting that budget, getting a 2 to 3 year budget, letting our government customers know that they have the, you know what they need to do to support their missions, have the confidence to go procure. If we see that in the next 2 to 3 years, we will do very well.
All right. Tony Smergolino, President and CEO of Engility. Thanks again for coming on.
Jared, thank you so much.